You left off in the Chavav and Aleph. So the Mishnah taught us that there is an institution called a Kosev, Tofse Gittin. The Tofse of the Get is a standard form. The Torah of the Get is the part that really matters. When I was a kid, I used to always forget which is which. I always have the Nemara. Torah sounds like Torah. That's something simple as the Torah. The Torah is the more important part. The Torah of the Get is the more important part. The Tofse of the Get is the standardized part of the Get. The Mishnah says that a sofer is permitted to prepare the Tofse Gittin in advance. You should have Gittin available, as long as it leaves out blank the names and the date, etc. All the critical components of the get have to be left out. So the Tofse can be written, the Torah has to be left out. Then the Mishnah says, and the reason why we do this is we put out takana. There was some kind of a takana, some kind of an act that Chazal made to allow this. The question is, what exactly do those words mean? So the Mark begins on Chavavim and Aleph. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. First one line is Tricha. What is the takana that the Mishnah is referring to? I'm going to be honest with the takana sofer, that the takana was to make life easier for the sofer, because someone's going to come for a get, and someone's going to wait for him. I need another 2 hours to prepare. Wait a second, I'll go to the next guy. He knows how to write quicker. So you want to make life easier, available. Yeah. I mean, we just kind of over-dramatize. I want to get like once every 20 years, but we try to, you know, for our purpose of making them all able to. So the Gemara says, just to make it easier for the sofrim, Rabbi Elazar, Yidiyama Eidim Asira Karasi. And this Mishnah is following the view of Rabbi Elazar, who holds that Eidim Asira are the key, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, all the Dinim of Lishma are on the Ksiva Saget, something we've spoken about many times. So according to Rabbi Elazar, the Ksiva has to be Lishma, and therefore, the Dinu, the Filu Tafis Dabin Alichtov. It would probably not be the greatest idea for Sofrim to write Gittin in advance, even though it's true that they're not going to write the name, the Torah part yet, but even just to get them into the habit, into the rote, writing the Tofet is not a good idea, because the Gezeira, we may end up by mistake writing the Torah also. So Midrabanan, it would not have been recommended to have Sofrim write pre-existing Gittin, but Mishum Tekhana says, Sofrim Shor Rabbanan. But to make life easier for the sofer, they lifted that potential for his mission with the Rabbanan, and they followed the Din D'oraisa, that as long as you leave out the Torah before it, it'll be okay. And now we understand why the Mishnah continues and tells us that other Tanakh disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda posel the Kulan. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to write anything in advance. You can't write the Torah for sure. You can't even write the Tofes. Even on regular Shtaros, you shouldn't be doing this. What is that all about? Goes the Tofes of the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda said that if you let people write the Tofes, next thing they're going to do is write the Torah, and that get will be possible with their Raisa, because it wasn't written with Shema. And goes the Shtaros of the Gittin. Not only was Rabbi Yehuda Machmir in Gittin, which is a real din of Lishma, he said all documents should not be pre-written, because in Gezeira, if you let the Sofer write the regular documents, next thing you know, they can write Gittin as well. So Rabbi Yehuda was very, very Machmir. We don't go as far as that. Rabbi Yehuda was very, very machmir for Rabbi Elazar. So that's the last opinion of the Mishnah. Machshir b'kulan. Rabbi Elazar says that regular shtaros can be pre-written. Chutz b'gittin noshim. But gittin cannot be rewritten. Cannot be pre-written. What's the difference? Tofes of the Torah of Elazar. Rabbi Elazar of in a get to let you write a tofes, he's already going to write a Torah. But shtaros of the Yilam Gazer, that's a far-fetched gazera. If you let a guy write a sale for a piece of land, next thing he's losing to write again, that's a little bit too much. That's already a far-fetched gazera, and therefore we don't go. So again, everybody agrees at this point, Midaraisa, the only thing that cannot be pre-written is the Torah for the guest. The question becomes, should we extend with the Rabbanan and say, don't write the Tofes or the Torah, don't write the Shtaros or the other Gittin? So those are detailed nuances that the Tanaim argue about. Shenema v'chasav lo. So at the very end of the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, Gittin you cannot write in advance, because it says in the Chumash, v'chasav lo l'shma. So it says the Gemara, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. V'haki k'siv lo atorf k'siv. Rabbi Elazar is telling you not to write a Tofes in advance, and he's quoting you a Pesuk in Chumash. That's not true. The Pesuk in Chumash is not talking about the Tofes. Tofes is just a standard lashon. That's not the get proper. So you have to change the gears to the Mishnah a little bit. Ela eima mishum shnem b'chasav lo l'shma. If you have the gears of that Mishnah, Shenna Emar, it sounds like this is the absolute source for the din of not writing Tosfot early. That's not right. Mishum Shenema, that the gears of Shemi is because there's a din deraisa writing Mishma, and that, of course, only refers to the Torah. You have forbid the Rabbanon. You shouldn't write the Tofes either in advance. So we got to just touch up the Mishnah a little bit. It comes to the topic of Rabbi Amazing says that we're getting different positions within Rabbi Elazar's view. Kashim Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Elazar. We said a moment ago that the first Tana in the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar speaking, and Rabbi Elazar says that you can write the Tofes. There's nothing to worry about. And now at the end of the Mishnah, lo and behold, it's Rabbi Elazar himself who appears, who says that you cannot write the Tofes as the Gezerah to the Torah. So a technical question, within the world of Rabbi Elazar, we know when he held the Daraisa, that the Torah cannot be written beforehand. We know that the Daraisa Tofes can be written beforehand. We don't know, did Rabbi Elazar make that Gezerah? Was he concerned that if you write the form, you can end up writing the specifics as well? So the first part of the Mishnah said that he did not make the Gezerah. The second part of the Mishnah says he does make the Gezerah. What did he hold? Kashrut was Rabbi Elazar, and so the Gemara trait Tanoim by Rabbi Elazar. There were two Tanoim according to Rabbi Elazar. It was actually Machlokes within the view of Rabbi Elazar what the din should be. Rabbi Shapsay or Mechizkiya. Rabbi Shapsay says name Mechizkiya that we have the whole Pshat of the Mishnah not right. When the Mishnah says a Pnei Takana, so the Pnei Takana was not a reason to permit us to write the Tofes according to Rabbi Elazar. The Pnei Takana meant as follows. Mishum Ketata, Rabbi Meir, the Amr Eide Chasiba Karsay. What the Mishnah was saying is, it happens to be following Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir holds, according to Rabbi Meir, you can write everything in advance. According to Rabbi Meir, as long as you don't sign in advance, you're good to go. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the Dinam of Lishma don't apply to the Chasibas again at all. So therefore, Midaraisa, Midirabodim, and Damage should be totally mutter to write everything in advance. Why did Jesus say not to write the Torah? The Torah? A totally different reason, because the Zimnin, the Shamalev was so fair, because Kosir, the Sovra, Iyukamalev, Avalik Tatabadeh. Because if Sofram get into the habit of pre-writing Gittin, imagine the following. The woman's going to be walking by, and she happens to be, she's schmoozing with the Sofra's Rebbetzin. Having a cup of tea together, and she hears that the sofa's writing, and he would say that when he's writing, Reuven ben Yaakov is divorcing Rachel bas Shimon, which is a perfectly good get, according to Rabbi Meir, because it doesn't have to be Mishma. And also, she hears those names. Wait a second, that's my husband, that's me. My husband must have commissioned the sofa to write a get for me. She comes home and starts screaming at her husband, what did I do wrong? And he says, what do you mean, what did I? You hired the sofa to write a get for me. So that group, that's going to get them to a fight. I'll let them say, not a bad idea. Maybe you're going to write the get for. So therefore, to avoid any pre-written get there, to avoid machlokes, Chazal said not to write the get in advance. So Rav Chisda Rabbi Mishut Tachanas Agudas. So now the third group of Amorim, we're giving a different shot of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was very, very cryptic. The Mishnah said, the writing of get in advance has something to do with a takona. So Rabbi Elazar had the takona in his direction, and Rabbi Meir had the takona in his direction, and now the Gemara quotes a whole other understanding. What does it have to do with agunos? So Amalar Rimeir, Amalar Belaz, there were two different versions as to what Rav Chisda said. So Amalar Rabbi Meir, one version of what Rav Chisda said was, following Rabbi Meir, the Amar, Eide Chasiba Karsi, that Eide Chasima are the key, of a dinu, the Afilu Torah Nami Lichtov, and therefore the Iker Adin. According to Rabbi Meir, you should even be able to write the Torah. The Zimnin Havla Ketata Ba'adah, what's going to go wrong if you write the Torah in advance? They're going to get into a fight. About nothing to begin. It's not husband and wife going to get into a fight. For Rosh Chalot, he's going to get angry. And he'll see this get available. He's going to knock on his sofa's door and say, do you happen to have a get available for me? He says, today's your lucky day. I have your name and your wife's name. Within 5 minutes of having the fight, so all of a sudden, his Zarek Lady Allah, he's going to throw a get at her, and that's going to cause her to be an aguna. What does that mean? This here, Chazal uses the term aguna in a very, very different way than it's used in the modern sense. The word aguna, most of the time in Chazal and in today's world, of course, means a woman who is technically still married to her husband, or we're treating her as married to her husband, and we cannot let her remarry. In the days of Chazal, the term aguna was usually used for a situation where we're not sure whether the husband's still alive. The husband disappeared. We suspect that he's no longer alive, but we haven't been able to prove it. That's the classic term of aguda that's used. Today's world, of course, we use the word aguda for a woman who's never married, and the husband's holding it up, and Shloki did it, not giving her a get, which she's entitled to get. Well, here Chazal uses the word aguda in a different way. Here Chazal uses the term aguda that the woman got divorced. Actually, the exact opposite of the term the way we use it. The woman got divorced, but now Nebuch, she's not married. Now she's in a big pickle. Now she's Nebuch, a single woman, and she's not going to be able to get married so fast. She's a quote-unquote aguda. She's tied up. She's chained up. If she doesn't have a husband because she was divorced, because the divorce happened so quickly, because the get was easily available, instant get. You press the button on this computer, and before I knew it, Amazon delivered a get in the next 20 minutes. So that's not a good thing. We want him to stall a little bit. We want him to calm down a little bit. So that was the Takanas Agunos. That's why we don't want to have too many pre-written getting around. It's not the regular way. It's definitely not, even in Chazal, the word Aguna usually doesn't mean that.
It's done in haste.
Right, because it's done in haste. Right. So it's Rashi writes, Agila, most of Kashiba Gureshis. Being divorced is also shit like Aguna. That means that she's tied up, she's not married, she doesn't have a normal life. Now, that's a problem.
On a derisive level, the get wasn't chal.
Yeah, the get was chal because we hold the Rabbi Meir according to this view. So according to Rabbi Meir, you don't need a get being written with Shema, but the get was written too quickly. The get was here. They got into a fight at 8 o'clock, the morning by 9 o'clock. She's ready to be rashes. That's not a good thing.
So any woman who's not forewarned about her attending divorce is
a quote unquote ragun.
It's not a good thing. Not a good thing is not, let's say, that's a derisive level of tying her up to be an aguna, that she's not, that the get doesn't work.
No, the get works. No, the get is 100%. Gets 1,000% kosher. But it's
the wrong word.
It's in our lingo, it's the wrong word. Chazal did use it, but it's not the normal way. It's not the normal way. 99% of the time, when I use the word, like, the base, Shumaguna, Kilber Avanan, and Chazal made it easy to have one A believe instead of two, Bishumaguna. So the word aguna is not the regular.
She's not going to be married.
Yeah, she's
locked.
It's a strange application of the word aguna. I agree.
Okay.
Amar Rabbi Elazar. Others will say that this mitzvah takanas agunos is referring to Rabbi Elazar. The Amar Eidim Esirah Kasei. Rabbi Elazar held that Eidim Esirah Kasei. But dinu defilu tofes not in a lichto. Now, even though in a Torah you can write a toface, not lishma according to Rabbi Elazar, it's not the greatest idea because you never know if you're going to write a toface. Next thing you know, you may write a Torah. So why did Chazal look the other way and say, all right, write the Tofes Gittin? The Zimn in the Boil of Mezlum of Dinasayam. The husband may be in a rush. He's off to China somewhere. So Ashkech Safra, and he won't have a sofa. He's got to catch the boat. So there's not going to be a sofa around. Bishavikla, and he'll leave her without giving her a get. This is Taka, the regular usage of Aguna. The Ozma, Agin, and Mosimla. He'll go off to China. We'll run over and I'll disappear. We'll never hear from him again. And his wife can never kind of change as an Aguna. I remember one time in Yeshiva, there was a fellow who was, the couple wasn't from, but the Meister, it wasn't clear exactly. Bottom line is they were going to get a get. He was willing to give a get to his wife. The wife very much wanted a get. And so we had arranged, he's going to come. So at 3 o'clock, he has to go to Yeshiva. There was going to be, it was Rabbi Shechter's father at the time, Mel Shechter, he was the oldest son of Gittin for many, many years in the New York area. So Mel Shecht was beside the get. And remember, the fellow was a real, very strange fellow. He was literally on his way to India. And I had a flight to India that evening. And on the way to the airport, on the way to JFK, he agreed to stop by the yeshiva, spend an hour giving a get to his wife. And I remember the whole time he was looking at his watch. I got a flight tonight at 7 o'clock. I don't have time. And, I was taking his time, just to make sure that the get was done properly. But that would have been an example of if we would have taken too much time, the guy would just skip down and never heard from him again. Anyway, so the bottom line is that Chazal did permit this writing, or sometimes encourage the writing of the Tosfos Gittin, and for a variety of reasons related to Hilchos Agudos. So now the Gemara continues. When the Mishnah commented on Mokham Azman, that you leave this man out, you leave this man out as well. So when you pre-write the get, you have to leave out the names of the people and you have to leave out the time. So says the Gemara, Kaposik Tadi, the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between different kinds of getin. Lo Shem and Asum, Lo Shem and Erusim. In theory, you could have a get from a woman who's not even fully married. She had kiddushin, she had eris and eris and kiddushin, the same thing. She had kiddushin, and they never really completed the marriage, and now they want to get divorced. But that raisa, she's an eshidish, she requires a get. That's a get mina eris. Get mina nesuin is a couple's married for 20 years. Now they're getting divorced. So the Mishnah doesn't say any distinction between the two, implying that any and every get written, both for arusas and for the nesuos, requires man. So says the Gemara, really? Why is it so critical to have the time and a get? So this is the throwback that we looked at in the second barak. Bishlam of men and nesuin. So if you have a get for a woman who's in a suah, dein leman diyavishu masechal so, ika. According to one opinion of the Gemara, why do you need a time and a get? Why is it so important? Write a get. Man of Kamino, what the date of the get is. So one thing the Gemara says that you need as man and a get, Rishumbas Achoso, is a gezeira that a woman may do mizana, and then she'll whip out a get without a time, and she'll say, oh, I was divorced at the time of that mizana. Wasn't really true. It was mizana until after the, until she was mizana before the get was given, but we'll have no way of checking that out. Why would the husband be privy to this? Why would the husband assist in this? Why would the husband be willing to help her? It's the last thing he wants to do is to save his wife, who was just a mezana tachdav. The answer is he has rachmanos of her. She's basa choser. He married his niece. And he's married. He's allowed to marry his niece. And now never the niece went off the deep bed. She went out of mezana with somebody. So he's very angry at her, and rightfully so. He's going to divorce her. But it's his sister's daughter. I mean, now he doesn't want to get her killed. So he doesn't want to have to answer to the sister. So mishum gzeres basa choser. So Chazal said, we want to make 100% sure there's always a time to get. There's never any confusion here. There's never any misunderstanding as to when the get was given. So if you go along the lines of the reason for his battle, so he comes. And that reason makes sense. The issue of Eish Zish Zins is true both for Arusa and for Nesua. But this time in Nesua, again, this time in Nesua, and Beinu Madi Abishu Masa Chosu Ika, Beinu Madi Abishu Peri Ika. And similarly, if the reason for the time to get is for a totally different reason. One opinion of the Gemara was that you need a date on the get Bishum Peros, because when a couple gets married, so he's allowed to he eats the fruit of our property. Once they get divorced, so then he stops eating the fruit of our property. If you don't have a date on the get, how are you ever going to know? And what he's going to be selling, she's going to be selling. No one's going to know who's in control financially of the assets. So if you hold that the reason is either Bishum Masachoso or Bishum Peros, Ika, both of those reasons apply when she is in a Suwa. But if she's only in an Arusa, according to the one who said the reason for his man is Mishum Basachoso, I understand that reason applies to an Arusa. Arusa means the whole institution of eating the fruit of the wife's property only starts after they're fully married. The whole kind of payers only starts after the suin. So why in the world is it necessary to write this man and a get? If it's in a get of an Arusa anyway. So Amram responded, Hamil Sashamas bin Ula. I heard in the name of Ula, the Amma Mishum Takonas Vlad, that Ula said the reason for Zman in a get of an Arusa is to protect the Vlad, protect the child. Rav Amram said, I had no idea what he was talking about. What child? A couple not even fully married, they're not living together, husband and wife. Who in the world's having a child? So he never understood what that meant. Now Rav Amram said, I realized afterwards, now I chop up my red Ula meant. Came with the Shamisa Law design. Now later in life, I learned this Brysa, and then I understood what I originally heard from the Rebbe. What did the Brysa say? Pa'omikis forget La Rusa, see? L'chashech Nasena Agarshana. Ain't no get. A person has the following. He had a Averson with a girl, so they're technically married, but they're Isa, they're married, and if he wants to break up the marriage, he has to give her a debt. So he goes to a sofer and he says, write a get for my arusa, but I'm not going to use it right now. First, we're going to have the suin, and then afterwards, I'll divorce her. Not a very good, nice thing to do. We're not condoning such bizarre behavior. But technically speaking, the get really should be good. The fact that they had suin in the interim doesn't make a difference. So in theory, they're married already. So they're ready. If he says to a sofer, write again for the woman who have not yet been the kaddish. So the person that's so good. It's like a double shlomo yolo. You can't authorize a get for someone not yet your wife. But here she is his wife already. And the fact they haven't had the suin, why should that impact on the get? But the bride says, no. The bride says, they don't get. The bride says, you cannot use such a get. What's wrong with such a get? So the Amar Ula explained to us what's wrong with the get. Matam, gezeir, shemayomru, gita, kadim, ufna. that we were afraid that if you give a get under no circumstances, what happens is as follows. The get was written, then the couple were together, they had the suits, they had their relations together, and then he's going to give the get a little bit later on. Wait a second. That means the couple were together after the ksivas get. So there's a date on this get, and the get wasn't given yet, so the couple was still technically they're married. But the get was written, it's dated, it's sitting in the sofa's file cabinet, ready to be delivered, and the couple are having relations together. She may become pregnant from that. If she becomes pregnant from that, all you need is one yenta 9 months from now to start to go backwards. And wait a second, when was that child conceived exactly? Let's check the date of that get. And the date of the get precedes when the child was conceived. That is correct, but irrelevant because the get wasn't given yet. So that child was not born out of a wedlock, so to speak. That child was born to a regular married woman, husband and wife. But no one's going to know that. We're going to start to gossip. It's not the rumor that maybe the child was born after the get was given. Now, the truth is, in the world of pure halacha, it doesn't make much of a difference because the child born out of wedlock has no halachic stigma to it anyway. That's not Mzeiros. Mzeiros means when the couple could not have kedusha because he marries, it was a sister or something. That creates Mamzerus. So this is not Mamzerus. So what's so terrible? Rashi said, you know what's so terrible? It doesn't sound right. It means it's a stigma to the family. It's Pagam Mishpacha. People are going to be murmuring and sure that kid over there, that kid, we know that his parents were together. They were together. You have to get. So we don't want to have a get written, coupled together, and then given. Because that's going to lead to this potential problem.
It's interesting. Gemara doesn't use the term, which does in other cases, be a lusnos. So meaning that would... I would think that's a stronger reason that
because it's not really being smooth. If you think about it, because the couple's still married. He hasn't given her the get yet. It's just that it looks like it was being smooth. It looks like people are gonna say that so it's really all the perception. You said perception is more important than reality. The reality is not a being smooth. So comes the Gemara and says, Shebi Yamagidakalami, so to appear, if you don't have a date on a get, because there is Shem Yom Gidakal, no one's gonna know when the get was given. So people are gonna think that the get was given earlier, and now Gavalt, the child all of a sudden is born. People are going to do the math backwards, and they're going to think incorrectly that maybe this child was born out of wedlock, which again would be a pagam for the child and for the family.
That could have been corrected by insisting that the date only be written
in time was zero. Yeah, okay, right. In theory, you could have done that. So it's a good idea. We don't want to have to get written before the old, right?
Why don't we just say a little book between the
You could have. Yeah, right. We it's very, very hard to always know when loplug is one of those trickiest things. We have some gazeros all loplug, some gazeros are not loplug, and we have no way of knowing which are which. Tyson already throws the hands up and says, "Ema ladamos gazeros chacham zulazul." The problem is we're looking in hindsight. We're looking back and saying, "What did the days that go have in the lishus that goes? What did they have in mind 2,300 years ago when they made this gazer?" It's hard for us to know. Sometimes there are factors that we're not aware of. Why they made the gazera this two, and why somebody made the gazera different two. It's hard for us to know. We have the legislation itself. We don't have the whole give and take, the hours and days and months of debate about the legislation. So we're not quite sure what led them to be the socket in one direction or another.
Oh, I'm saying we're giving two.
I don't know. Amr of Abba, Amr of Saba, Amr of Adab, Abba, Amr of three lines of Gemara, who said what? Omer, Dabar, Shem, Omer. I guess you bring a lot of Geula Olam if you tell every single person along the way. Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar. That the final halacha in this whole story is what we said back in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar said at the end of the Mishnah, you should not be writing Tosei Gittin beforehand because the Gezerah of the Torah. So even though not all the Torah agreed to that Gezerah, Rabbi Elazar said it, and therefore we should follow that view. Rav said about the Tana Rabbi Elazar, Tuvira de Chakime. He's the great of the Chachamim. He's the height of the Chachamim. In the area of Gittin, Rabbi Elazar carried a lot of the weight. It's interesting, you find this in different sugyas and shas. Like there's some sugyas where you find that a particular Tana, some are always to get the upper hand in that area of Elazar. Like you know, Chashabas, very often we pass it from Shimon of Chashabas, and because Gittin, we pass it from Elazar and Gittin. And somebody have, I guess, he had even in the realm of the Tanoim, he had sort of like the quote unquote experts that this was their area. This area, they probably had the final word with the Pesach Halacha. Like the Gemara has in the Amoraim, Rabbi Yisuri, Kishmo, Bedini, a different Tanam, different Amoraim had certain more clout in different areas of Halacha. So says the Gemara, when we say that Halacha is Rabbi Elazar, he's the greatest in this area, the Filu B'Shar Shtaros Nami, do we mean that we follow his view in Shar Shtaros? And Rabbi Elazar said by Shar Shtaros, you could be Bekel, even though Rabbi Elazar was a Machmir and Gittin, not to write Tosin, but he did let you write pre-advanced regular shtaros. He wasn't worried about shtaros otu gittin. So when we say Allah or Balazar, does that mean across the board? So says the Gemara, it can't be. So Rava told us, what Papa said in the name of Rava, the following, he said, Asharta the Daini. Asharta the Daini is a document that's signed by the Dayanim, saying that they have confirmed that this and this document is acceptable. Principle of Kiyam Shtaros. When the Shtar comes to Beis Din, so Beis Din has to investigate and see are the signatures really legitimate or not. They have to have Eidim come and testify. They have to prepare signatures, whatever they have to do. And then finally, when Beis Din concludes that the Shtar is legit, then they have to write up a Shtar of the Dayanim called an Ashad in the Daini. So the Ashad in the Daini, what if it was written before the Eidim came to testify that the original document was valid. And then we wrote it up, the whole document's ready to go. Yeah, we don't know that document is true. And then finally the Eidim come to testify that the original signatures are okay. So Rava said you shouldn't use such a document, even though technically speaking, the document's kosher. It doesn't have to be written with Shema, it's just a Psach Beis Din, but in the Shtar Beis Din that was written before they really were authorized to write it, should not be used. I'm a Mexican shikra because it looks like sheker. Mitva sheker tichon. It looks very funny. What does the document say? We, the following dayanim, have ascertained and we have clarified and we have confirmed that the signatures on documents such and such are acceptable. Signed in the bottom three. You didn't even hear the Eidim speak first. You know, so it's true. At the end of the day, the Eidim come an hour later and they say it's good, so it's good to go. So basically, they want to go down Milchim. They don't want to be bothered to write another document. So Rabbi says, no, you have to write another one because it's Mechzik Shikra. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. So to over here, can I have Mechzik Shikra? So to over here, if you write a sale document before the person was authorized to do so, even though there's no bit of Lishma, there's not Gittin, no Deraisa Lishma, but it looks funny. It looks a little bit dishonest. I'm writing that Reuven sold Shimon his field. Reuven hasn't come to us yet. Shimon hasn't come to us. We don't know if he wants to sell his field yet. Well, we decide to get a jump start. Reuven selling Shimon's field. It looks like a sheker. So how can we authorize documents that look like sheker? He says, no, we're not so worried about that. Belesa mid Rav Nachman, because of a statement that Rav Nachman said, we're willing to look the other way. And even though a document was written and it doesn't look right, it's not, if it's real sheker, you can't use it. It's not real sheker, but it's facts of sheker. It looks a similar like sheker. So that's not the end of the world. What did Rav Nachman tell us that shows that you can write a document, you can use a shtar, even though it looks a little like sheker? The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbi Meir, afilu matzah ba'ashba chaspa v'nasa l'kosher. Rav Nachman said that according to Rabbi Meir, who says you don't need to get to the Shema, even if you found the get in the garbage, you could just sign it and give it in shayin. Now that get was clearly Mechzik Shikra. The get was written saying, Reuven is divorcing Rachel. Reuven's not here, Rachel's not here. Who says Reuven's divorcing Rachel? The whole thing was a sham. I found it in the garbage. But it doesn't matter, because as long as you don't need exceedingly Shikra, that's okay. I would happen to Mechzik Shikra, who cares? We don't care about Mechzik Shikra. Even Rabbi Meir, even the Rabbanan people only disagreed because of the get, they were eating exceedingly Shema, because there's a problem with Shema. But B'Shav Shtaros Loi, a regular document, you can write documents in advance, Nishkefelech. Let's say I lent you $1,000, you wrote up a document, and then you paid back the money, and now you want to borrow money from me again later that day. You can't use the same document twice. The Shibud on the document, all the lien on the document, was already foregone. So it's foregone, so it's already over. You can't reuse the same document. The only reason why you can't reuse the same document is because of Mechilas HaShibud. The fact that it's partial sheker, it looks like a lie. You wrote a document for a loan that didn't happen yet. This fella, who cares? What's a little Mechilas HaShibud between friends? It doesn't matter. Seriously, there's a potential application of this. There's some aside the condition. When they write the Ksuba, they won't write the phrase the Kanina. one still in the world that we made the kidney already, because we knew the kidney. The kidney isn't done until right before the chasen fish. So some of the kiddush will leave out the word the kanina. Some of the shtaros will leave out the word kanina because it is concerned. Others say, but we pass that it's okay. We pass it's not a problem. So many Masada kiddush will fill in the word kanina, which is probably a better strategy, because if you forget the, if you don't fill it before, and you're not going to forget to fill it in later, and then it's going to really possibly super possible. So therefore, many Masada kiddush not going to do fill it in. So yesh v'yesh. Some are makbid because it is happening in the Gemara, and some are makbid, but maybe the Gemara concludes. You do have to be chayshesh. And others say the whole thing is a joke. We could just fill in the kanina beforehand, and then you don't have to worry about anything. Okay, we'll stop it. So yeah, I think that, I want to just get to the Mishnah. So,
yeah. Take care. Yeah.
Remember one time, the Sadaka, and I filled in the word. I wrote.